Well, I hope you folk are doing okay. This is our ninth week of lockdown, and certainly life has been very different since the start of this coronavirus. We have more time on our hands, and I suppose it gives us more time for reading and study and prayer. I certainly have been recently challenged to think about some of my attitudes and prejudices over the years. I grew up and my primary schooling was in Londonderry, Northern Ireland. And I remember coming back to Dundee with so many prejudices. The sectarian divide had certainly made a big impression on me. And I felt that the other half Catholics, there was no way that they were right. But the Protestants were all correct. And that really bothered me. In reading William Barclay's commentary on Ephesians, we read that if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he is a new creation, the old is gone and the new has come. And he speaks about the divide of Gentiles and Jews, that when they came to Christ, they were not a hybrid Christian. They were a new entity in Christ, a new creation. And we likewise have been made anew. Our experience of eternal life starts now in this troubled planet, but with the help of Jesus. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 and 6, we are seated with him in the heavenlies, that we have the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8 and 9. And in that same chapter, the Spirit of Sonship, whereby we can call him Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit is our counsellor in John 14, the Spirit of truth that teaches us all things. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and he will guide us in all truth. Some of us will remember the 70s when there was a tremendous renewal of the Holy Spirit, a revelation, anointings, and many and some weird manifestations of his infillings. It caused quite a sensation nationally, and certainly in Kirriemuir, I remember our fellowship wondering what it was all about. Have we missed something? What is this about this new infilling? May and I went to Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship to experience what this was all about. Yes, there was many weird and distracting manifestations and teaching, but the teaching from the staff, from John Arnott, and his assistance was excellent, Bible-based and excellent. It certainly helped both of us to realise what it was all about. I remember John Arnott clearly saying, listen, he says, believe that God can bless you in these things of the Spirit more than Satan can deceive you. We don't need to run away from things that we don't understand or experience, things that we might find puzzling or even controversial. The book says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, he did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. We can be so prejudiced that we can get confused and puzzled and sometimes miss a part of our learning because some aspects of the teaching we have heard we don't like or understand. I remember a Christian leader saying to me, oh no, I don't read that theologian's book or accept what he says. He doesn't even believe in the virgin birth. Or how about these showy evangelists with their white suits and bouffant hairdos? Oh no, no, I don't accept what they say. Or the evangelists that preach the prosperity gospel. Sometimes we're in danger of throwing away valuable truths because our prejudice prevents us from listening and accepting and sifting through the evidence. When we are members of Christ's body, we do not need to fear controversy, provided we maintain a spiritually healthy relationship with him. How do we do that? We are told to stand fast with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can distinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then the important bit, I believe, to make sure that the armoury indeed is effective, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. In Ephesians 5, the chapter preceding the one I've just read, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, instead being filled with the Spirit." Theologians tell us that interpretation is keep on being continually filled with the Spirit. That is our responsibility, to ensure we remain close in our relationship with Christ and can hear that still small voice of the Spirit, that we have Holy Spirit discernment when hard to understand teaching is offered to us. Our faith as members of Christ's body should be robust, storm-tested, steady under pressure. A couple of weeks ago, John Thompson spoke about digging the garden, removing the rocks, and it led me to think about the house on the rock. We dig down to that foundation, strong foundation on which to build the house. Why? Because when the storm comes, not if it comes, when the storm comes, the house, our witness, will stand. Through Holy Spirit discernment, we can sift through controversial teaching and retain the elements of truth that allow the dross to go. I'm reading for the second time Philip Yancey's Soul Survivor. He lists 13 people who have been a blessing to him and helped him on his spiritual journey. Including in that group is Mahatma Gandhi, a Hindu whose non-violent protest loosened British grip on India and brought justice to many groups in the caste-ridden society. He elevated the status of the untouchables and told people that they were in fact the children of God, the Harijan. He studied Holy Scripture from different religions and had a tremendous respect for the teachings of Jesus, though he never became a follower of Jesus. He felt that often those who claimed to be followers of Christ did not follow and live out his teachings. A very humble man. Somebody once asked him, "Mr. Gandhi, why do you travel third class on the trains? He says, "Well, because there's no fourth class." Can we learn from somebody like that, even although he would be from another religion? I hope we can. In this journey of life, we are confronted by so much information or advice from different sources. Much may be irrelevant, even harmful, but some may be of great use. We have responsibility to filter, to sift through Holy Spirit discernment the information and store what is of use, not to allow a fleshly prejudice to dismiss out of hand the grains of truth that may be of use. We watch that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. To come back to my sectarian prejudice in Northern Ireland, it was only when I came to college that I met so many or several very good Catholics and suddenly realised these men love Jesus. They are devoted. They have a commitment. Yes, they have all the add-ons of their particular faith, but they were indeed people who loved the Lord. And that helped me to come to terms with my prejudice in that area. And then, of course, from a practical point of view, we can carry prejudices. You know, when you come out of Tesco in Forfar, you often see somebody selling the Big Issue magazine. Do we buy a magazine? Do we walk past with the head down? Do we sometimes think, well, I'm a bit embarrassed, I don't know what to do, but I'm certainly not going to entertain any purchase there today? What about the figure who sits on a couple of sheets of cardboard, wrapped in a sleeping bag, perhaps with a dog curled up beside him? He has his head in a hood, his hood up, and a sheet of newspaper spread in front of him with a few coins on it. Yes, he's begging. in any of our big cities, you'll find that that is perhaps the case. You can pass them. And as you walk along, you think, why is he not working? He should be on benefits. Ha, he's probably an addict. He should know there are food banks. And you bolster your prejudice by recalling a story, which is probably apocryphal, of a chap who spends his day begging. And when the crowd thins at the end of the day, he scoops up the money, goes round the corner, gets into his car and drives home. We may pass by on the other side because we have bolstered our prejudice and we think, no, I'm not going to get involved here. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, give us discernment to know the genuine needs of others. Perhaps the chap you passed by had ill health. Maybe he's lost his job through no fault of his. Perhaps his marriage has been broken. Maybe he is desperate. Maybe this is his last chance to survive. In Hebrews 13 verse 2 it says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." What would Jesus do? May we dig deep in your word, Lord. Reach out in prayer, realizing the infilling of your Spirit, and having a discernment with sensitivity to hear that still small voice. That particularly in these days of isolation, coronavirus, that we can be able to reach out with a sensitivity and a Holy Spirit discernment to those that you point us towards. May the Lord bless us. Amen.